morning. So we are in the later chapters of Romans. We've been going through Romans for a while. And everything after, Romans 8 is about, what happens when you are a Christian. We have learned about what it means to go from being sinners under the power of sin, living and having the works of sin, and through faith in Jesus Christ, we're brought to righteousness. We're brought to a place where we can obey God, and a place where that obedience can lead to righteousness, holiness. That there's a new life that we have through the Spirit of God. One of the things that happens, like if I were to ask the question, so okay, you believe in Jesus Christ, so what's the, what happens when you believe in Jesus Christ? What is your life like? Where do you go? What would be the answer? Where do you go if you believe in Jesus? Heaven, yeah. But there's a space of time between the time we believe in heaven, right? So part of what we have to think about is, okay, in the meantime, in the space between our becoming a Christian and going to heaven, there's something that God wants to happen in our lives. There's things that God wants to work in our lives. And that's where we are in chapter 12. Chapter 12, 13, 14, those chapters talk about, okay, now you are a Christian, you're living in a broken world, what does God want to see happen in our lives? What's the work that's going on there? So last time we talked about, first of all, chapter 12, the first few verses, talking about offering ourselves to God as living sacrifices, total submission to God, bowing down. We give God who we are. We want God to own us. We want God to saturate us. He says one of the key elements of giving ourselves totally to God is the renewing of our mind, the transformation of our mind, of our thoughts. And if we give ourselves to God completely and we're getting God's word in our heart and it's starting to take over who we are, it forms our decision-making processes and that, right? We become transformed, and in doing that, we know then what God's will is, okay? And so to be a Christian is to be someone, as we mature, as we grow, as we commit ourselves to God, to be a Christian is to be someone who knows what God wants, who knows, the things that please God, and wants to obey and live according to that. And so Paul goes through several different aspects of that. And the first one is about how we work with each other, how we get along with each other, how we help each other, right? So the first one has to do with the idea of being a part of the body of Christ. So it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others." The first thing he asks us to do is to think reasonably about ourselves. And one of the things that I think can really cause problems is if we have an unreasonable expectation for who we are, right? We can put a lot of stress on ourselves by not understanding what's our purpose, what's our function. But if we think about when he talks about within the body of Christ, he's talking about how, God made us and God gave us a function. God gave us a purpose. And going back to the idea of knowing God's will, of having our minds, transformed, of being in that place of submission, part of the outcome of that is we know what God wants us to be. We know what God wants us to do. And the first thing Paul says is, listen, let that keep you straight. Let that keep you where you're supposed to be. Don't try to go far beyond what God has done, and don't go underneath what God has called you to be. God's called you to be something. God's given you a purpose. He's given you a place. He's made you a part of a body, part of a family, right? And so He's telling us, know your place. Yeah, if you think about it, we can drive ourselves pretty crazy by trying to exceed that call. If we think that, you know, God's, you know, called me to be, and you fill in the blank, some exalted position or some place above, you know, what God called you, right? You're just going to end up being frustrated. Or if you go below what God has called you to be, then you're going to disappoint God. You know, that whole thing about the talents and the guy that took the talent and buried it, didn't do anything with it, right? That God wasn't pleased with him, okay? But the one that took what they had and used it well, that's the one God's pleased with. And so Paul's asking us to have, you know, a real clear thought about who we are and to measure ourselves based upon what God, you know, called us to be, called us to do. God has given us each a measure of faith, Paul says in this case. Really? He's given us a measure of faith. Okay, just testing. All right. He's given us a measure of faith. And in another place, he talks about a measure of grace when he talks about gifts. That we're not all given the same thing. We're not all the same. You know, one of the wondrous things about God is his you know, variety in creation. I mean, just look how many fish there are, how many birds there are, how many flowers there are. And he has a variety of gifts and strengths and things that he pours out into us. He doesn't give us all and make us all exactly the same. He gives us varying gifts. And part of knowing the will of God is knowing what God's put in us. Knowing what God is doing in us, and then kind of living and embracing that and saying, okay, that's what God made me. That's what God gave me to do in the body of Christ, you see? So again, if we're going beyond or trying to think of ourselves differently than God does, or we're trying to add to that or take away from that, we're missing it. So that's why Paul asks for this, you know, sobriety of mind, this careful consideration of who we are in relation to what God has done, right? I think, again, one of the problems that people have is they'll do things for the expectation of others. I think a lot of pastors get that hugely. Because, you know, a church says, well, we think a pastor should be. And the pastor, because it's a job, he has no choice but to be that thing that they've told him he has to be. I know someone that became a missionary, not because they felt called to be a missionary, not because, you know, God put on their heart that field and those people. But they became a missionary because their father wanted them to be a missionary, wanted them to serve the Lord. And so that person spent 15 years on a mission field, just to serve their father. That was a bad decision, you know, doing things just to please someone else. You need to make sure that what you're doing is in relation to what God's putting in your heart, what God's working out in you, and not based on, you know, anybody else's ideas about it. So we need balance. We need equilibrium with the work of God. What is God doing in my life? What has God placed in me? What has God made me to be? There are a lot of books written for people that don't know God about finding your purpose, finding your place, finding out who you are. For us, it's really not that hard, because going back to the first couple of verses, it's about submitting our lives to God and hearing His voice and understanding His word and then seeing what He's done. So we should have that equilibrium, that ability to do it. The other thing that happens is that what he's talking about here is not so much our natural place in the world, or our, you know, even our means to make a living. Because in other words, he's not talking about a you know, the absolute, your place in the world. He's talking about your place in the body of Christ. He's talking about in the community of Christ, in the family of God. What is my place? So he says, just as each of us has a body, and he makes the analogy of the one body, of the body of Christ, the church, the community of God, being made up of many members. So he's not talking about how, you know, we function outside of the church in this text. He actually gets to that in later texts. But in this text, he's talking about what is our function within the community of Christ. And it's interesting that, you know, God has made a community of Christ. He has made a body of Christ. He has made a church. The church isn't the facility. It isn't the building. It isn't the room that we sit in. But of course, the church is made up of us, the members of Christ, the parts of Christ. And we're scattered all over the world. Right? And we have a place in that body. It's an awesome thing to go from place to place. I've had the opportunity to go to Russia, Africa, Egypt, down south, out east. And wherever you go, you find the body of Christ. You find the people of God. You find a community that shares the like faith and like heart. And so you're part of something that's very wonderful and very big. And it was put together by God. This is then talking about our relationship with others based on spiritual relationships, not just co-workers and things like that. But this part is about us and what God has done. What God has done is, He wants to build up our spirituality. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to know Jesus Christ. He wants us to walk in faith. He wants us to live according to the gospel. And he gives us each other to help us do that. It's about mutual support that comes from one another. The thing about, I used to talk about, people trying to have a relationship with God, which was like a phone booth relationship. It's only vertical, right? When people start talking about they can worship God in their home and they don't need a church, they don't need to be part of the community, and I'm not saying you can't worship God by yourself, but what I'm saying is you can't fulfill most of what Scripture asks us to do in a phone booth. You can't fulfill it individually. It has to be done in the body. It has to be done as God has equipped us, and get this, He's done that to help others. When I go to church, it isn't about me going to church. It's about me seeing you. It's about me talking to you or meeting you. And when I'm doing ministry, it's not about what I do. It's about what God wants us to do for the other person. In other words, it's about the community. It's not about the individual. It's about being part of a family. It's about having brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers, having people of God that care and love each other and pray for each other and do the things that God's called us to do to support each other, to help us to be stronger, to help us to hold on to our faith, to help us to continue to live according to the words of God and to trust in the words of God. Well, we live in a world that's like arguing against us all the time and putting up all kinds of false truths and attacking the very core of Christianity often. God has put together a community that will sustain us through that. And in spite of hearing all the arguments against Christ and all the arguments against heaven and all the arguments against resurrection and anything else they might argue against, there's a community of faith that helps us to hold on, that helps us to be built up, that helps us to say, yes, I can follow Jesus, and yes, Jesus is real, and yes, the Scriptures are the truth. And I don't have to listen to the bombardment of all that other talk that's going to, try to destroy our faith. The Lord wants us to continue. He wants us to make it. And one of the ways that He helps us to make it is by giving us each other. It is not about me individually. It's about us and we. You, plural. Right? That's what the community of Christ is. That's what God intended it to be. So Paul lists some gifts. And he says, we have different gifts, and we'll talk about the idea that these are not exclusive gifts. In other words, like this is the only gift there are. And I'm just going to briefly touch on what these are, because this is our text and this is what we're looking at. He said, for some, the gift of prophesying. Prophesying basically means to utter an inspired message, to be able to speak by the power of the Spirit and grace of God. In my mind, prophecy is about making faith alive in words and spirit. And it's something that when it's done, it touches our heart. It's a communal thing. Everybody who has ears to hear, as Jesus would say, their hearts burn with it. They're excited about that message. They're excited about that word that comes out. So it brings God's words to life. It brings faith to life. Prophesying, that's the one that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. I would rather do that than speak in tongues, you know, a million times, because it edifies everybody. It builds up the body. It's used to encourage. It's used to, again, you know, if you're a little downcast, if you're a little wavering in your faith, and you hear the word of God, the power of God, the faith of God expressed in prophecy, it like rekindles that fire, and it says, yes, amen, that's right, we hear that, right? Then the next one is the idea of being a servant, to serve. It's kind of interesting, you have the idea of the word of God or the inspired message of God, followed by serving, doing ministry. The first time we see this idea of the deacon was in Acts when they were distributing food. They were making sure that the widows were getting the right amount of food, no matter whether they were Jew or Greek, and we had that idea. I think of a lady that used to, when we first came here, and we had three little babies, and we're trying to run a church and run our home, and we had this lady, Edna, who watched our kids when we did youth ministry, and we'd come home, and the kids would all be happy in bed, and the house would be clean, you know, and they just spent their time, and they did that for several years for us, and that was a real service to us. Just personally, you know, serving is something you can do in the church. So we have, you know, some people that really, you know, give themselves, they have time and they give their energies, you know, they keep things clean, they fix things, they do all kinds of ministries. But service can also be something you do in somebody's home. It can be, you know, fixing a meal or whatever. There's a very broad idea of what it means to serve. But it's something that in this case is a spirit, all of these are spiritually endowed gifts. So someone has the Spirit from God to be able to do that. Teaching, the idea of explaining, expounding. Teaching, sometimes it's done in a classroom. We sit and we look at the Word of God together and we go over. Sometimes it's done when you're just hanging out with somebody and you start discussing, you know, questions. Sometimes it's done texting. Actually, you know, it's like we can redeem anything, right? You know, we can redeem Facebook. I'm going to talk about that text. I'm not going to talk about the crazy ideas, but I'm going to talk about that text. Or, you know, we can text each other asking questions. I appreciate it when we get texts asking questions about the Bible, although I had to up my limit of text minutes or whatever because I was getting a few of those, and you can't just say yes. But teaching is part of helping us to learn and understand not only the text or the word of God, but how that word is carried out in life. Paul talked about how he demonstrated with Timothy, right? He said, you know, Timothy, take heed to your life and doctrine. He showed Timothy not only how to understand the text, but also how to live it out. So teaching. Encouraging, the idea of consoling someone who's going through trouble, of just again, lifting up someone's faith, encouraging them to do what's right. Sometimes encouraging can be, you know, that tough love that says, hey, I'm really concerned about the direction you're taking, or I really don't think that, you know, this is the way you ought to go. Trying to help people to do what's right, helping people to you know, hold on to their faith, help them to walk out their faith. It could be saying something, but it could be also, you know, sending something through the mail, you know, just a kindness, a gift, just to encourage someone. I care about you. I love you. Encouragement, right? Sharing and giving. Some people have the, you know, that ability. That not again, just a natural generosity, but an ability by God that says, you know, what I have, I share, to give, to share. Some churches seem to have that as part of their DNA. It's really awesome to know, you know, Christians and to know communities that they've set their hearts on caring and giving. Acts, you know, 4:32, where the whole church, after God had given them a second, you know, regenerating power from on high, you know, they gave their possessions. It says none of them claimed any of his possessions was their own. That was an act of God in the whole community of Christ, right? Leadership, the idea of being able to help make decisions about giving direction, about helping the church know what to do. Mercy, showing weak for the concern for the weak, the wounded, to be able to share forgiveness, grace, and mercy from God. God gave us these lists from Paul in different texts, and you can see that, you know, there are different gifts, and some of those gifts help us to know God better. They help us to know the Word of God better. Some of them are there, again, to support our faith and to make us strong, to make us hold on. Some simply help out, doing tasks, taking care of little details in our life. Some help us in times of need, in times of stress, in times of sickness. Some help us to make, you know, learn how to make difficult decisions and where do we go, how do we do, you know, to lead. Some just are compassion-based, and they help to counter the hardness and the harshness of the world. You see that these lists, this gifts lists, these are not like definitive, you know, like that's all the gifts there are. But the idea is that God has gifted the church, that God has given us, you know, the ability to do something, to be something in the community, to help one another, to be there for each other, to be gifted by God, to live under what God's called us to have and to carry that out. So part of the idea of being transformed by the renewing of your mind and knowing how to test God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Part of understanding God's will is understanding what God has done in your life. What God has put in your heart, what He's put in your soul, what He's given to you. He wants us to use what He gave us. He's given us gifts. He's given us abilities, not natural necessarily, supernatural, powered by the Spirit of God to do something. He gave us those gifts not for our own pleasure or for our own pride, but He's given us those gifts for the sake of others around us to help them. He gives us gifts that help others to continue their walk with God, to grow, to be sustained, to be helped. God's community is made strong by what He's given us. So the idea for us is we need to take what God's given us. We need to take the gifts of God, understand what they are, understand who you are, understand what God made you to be. Let God tell you, you know, and how do you, again, verses 1 and 2, you know, lay yourself before the Lord. God, what is it? What does He want from me? If we answer that question, we know more than most people on this planet. If we know our function, if we know our purpose, if we know what God has put in us, but then the second part is, then use it. Not for our own sake, not for our own glory, not to make a name for ourselves, right? But because God put it in us to care for others. Think of the community of Christ as people support, care, love. All these gifts are enacted together. Think of how strong we become, how unshakable we become because God is with us. So I pray for us that we'll be able to know the gifts of God, to know what He's put in us, and to live with those gifts in practice. Amen. Amen. All right. What did we have up there? Did I have a song? That was for the wedding. Oh, I thought we already did that one. Oh. It was. Oh, you cried. Okay. Thank you.
honor you with the way that we serve in it, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Just protect us, Lord God, and bring us back safely.